Who would like to open us up this morning? Esther? Give it to Esther. Please.
Thank you, Father God, for today. I thank you for the word that we're going to receive, Father God.
Yes.
I pray that you would speak directly to our hearts, Father, and that we would savor those words, Father, and that they would make great help us to maturity into that area, Father, and help us to grow and just to be more like you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Bless Bob and just bless everyone here, even people that are on the way here. Get them here safely. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I love blessings. I'm not a bit bashful. I love blessings. I don't like curses. I love blessings. You know, a lot of people say, I don't want to, don't bless me. I don't deserve it. No, we don't deserve blessings, but it's a gift, right? Amen. All right. If you notice, I'm not Sammy. I'm a whole lot prettier and a whole lot smarter, but that's pretty obvious. True, thank you. Sammy had a, I'd ask him to do this teaching quite a while back. I'm quite a ways ahead on the teachings, try to keep it that way, have something good planned for us on Sunday mornings. But he had a wedding come up, and it was up north. He was going to try and make it back. I told him, don't bother, just spend the night up there and have a good time. I will be happy to step in. So he sends his regrets, and I told him, for every teaching you miss, you have to do three others, so... All right, now that I've built him up, I'm going to tear him down. He did a great job last week. He took a topic and put a spin on it that was great. He did an excellent job, and I agree with everything he said except for one thing. He started off with saying that there wasn't much left in 1 Corinthians. There was only two guys ahead of him, so there was only two teachings, and he's going to tell me that an entire book of the Bible is exhausted now after two teachers. I'm going to tell you the truth. I could do a week on one sentence, and Pastor, don't say I have, please. On our Bible study, we're on Daniel chapter 7, and I've been doing it for a month, and I'm not done yet. So that I have to correct him on. There is still a ton. Just 1 Corinthians, we could speak and preach on that for a year and not even exhaust it, right? All right. What he was saying, all the fun stuff, the easy stuff was gone. Now we get into the meat. So I thought today I would talk about, if everyone has their Bibles, turn to, we're 1 Corinthians, of course, chapter 12. And we're going to start at the beginning of chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. Concerning spiritual gifts. If you remember, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, a church that is out of order, a church that's proud of their disorder. They are a little bit messed up, shall we say. But he doesn't get mad. If you remember, if we read the very first chapter, how it started, he told them how much that he loved them. But, and then he went directly into what? Rebuking them for what's wrong. And he's going to almost continue with that. And one of the things that they had a problem with was the spiritual gifts. They would, and the spiritual gifts are good, but everything has to have an order. Some people say, well, the Holy Spirit, it just flows and does what it wants. Absolutely not. The Holy Spirit adheres to the Word of God, period. And the Word of God, there is no disorder. There's order to everything. And we're going to take a look at that today. And that's the title, Concerning Spiritual Gifts. If you will read with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. I do not want you to be misinformed. In a kind way, he's telling them they are misinformed. They're completely out of order. just letting things go. There has to be an order. We serve a God of order. Sometimes our church services would last for days and stuff, and people would just get up and speak in tongues for 4 hours and then sit back down. What good is that? How did that build anybody up? How did that help anybody? Though speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift, and I'll get to that in a minute. I'm just giving you a little background as we go through it. You know when you were pagans, and that was, if you remember my very first class on the city of Corinth, how it was completely destroyed and only been built up maybe 5 or 6 years before Paul got there on his missionary trip and established a church. So they were only, they barely had 1 foot out of paganism, right? So he's reminding them, you just come out of something that was wrong, and you realized it was wrong. Now why are you going back to it? Your pagan ways. Somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Every one of us has been there, right? Before we were saved, everybody serves something, right? Everybody has a God. Who was it before we were saved? It was whatever it was a mute idol. In other words, it was something not living, something not real, and something that was dead. They didn't listen to us. How do you think you're going to work? How's it work praying to an idol? Anybody want to? Anyone here want to pray to my chair? This is the holy chair. See if it talks back to you. See if it helps you. Yes. If it speaks back to us, we have a problem. All right. Therefore, I want you to know that no one is speaking by the Holy Spirit, says Jesus, be cursed. If we're led by the Spirit, are we going to say that? No. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's what led each and every one of us, and we're going to talk about that in a second. That's what led us to the Lord, wasn't it? The Holy Spirit. Hello. How are you this morning? Thank you. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of gifts. There's a lot of gifts, but the same Spirit. We're known by our Spirit. One Spirit, right? There are many spirits, but we're talking about the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, right? Distributes them. Let me read that again. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Everybody agrees that he's speaking about the Holy Spirit, right? So if the Holy Spirit distributes them, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, can you have spiritual gifts? The wrong spiritual gifts. There are people in churches that do not believe in the Holy Spirit, do not have it. They have teachings. They have different things. They're good. But they're not the same power and the same Spirit, right? You can be an excellent teacher and teach in an elementary school. That doesn't mean that that gift of teaching there is from God, does it? It could well be, but you're not using it properly. Because a lot of people, before you were saved, don't think the minute you're saved, you're going to get a spiritual gift. You've always had it. Pastor John, for instance, used to play in a rock band. He's always been a magician. That's Pastor Don. It wasn't just something all of a sudden, was it? He just wasn't using it for the right way. There's some excellent teachers out there, but they're not led by the Spirit. So do I want to hear their teaching? Or I can go get the same teaching from somebody that's Spirit-filled? No. All right. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Service. All spiritual gifts are to be used for other people. There's no spiritual gift that is for you. It's a gift that's given to you to be used in the body, to build up and edify the body, and to take that out and present Christ to people, right? Why else? Why would God give you a gift when we know that Christ's purpose is what? To bring the whole world to him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He said he would send another, more powerful, greater. When he said that, what he meant was, if we think Christ only probably touched a few thousand people, he was very limited in his ministry. He had to speak one-on-one. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere at once, right? I mean, I can't even do that. I try to get around. Pastor Don, I think, can. Everywhere I go that has food, I find him there. Yes, it is. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Lord. Again, all the gifts are working together and in an order. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. The same God that gives the spirits and distributes them uses them. I don't know if anybody ever been to a Chinese restaurant where they give you a menu. You can pick one item from this page, two items from that, one item from here. Okay, spiritual gifts don't work that way. When you're born or saved, God doesn't hand you a menu and say, here is a list of spiritual gifts. Choose one. Because if it did, I'd be the best tenor singer there ever was. And it's quite obvious that's not true. Right? He decides what that gift is going to be. We don't get to choose. We were born and created with that gift in mind. The gift probably come before us, and we've been known forever to do his work. That's why we have these gifts, to do God's work. And that's why there's different kinds of gifts. This would be a very boring place if everybody was a musician except myself. You had 100 people up on stage playing, and Bob's sitting there listening. Right? Does that sound like a good order? How would it be like in a Corinthians church? Everybody just jump up and start prophesying. Start speaking in tongues all at once. There has to be an order to that and a purpose to it. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Again, it's not to build you up and make you look good. Everybody that come in today, how many people had their radio on? How many people heard a great song or something? Did you thank the radio for that song? Why? Oh, okay. Still come through the radio and speakers, though, right? You put that CD in the radio. And we're the same way. The gift is not us, right? It's God gives it to us to use, right? When you do something and somebody thanks you, say, don't thank me, thank God. This is just a gift he gave me. He can take it back just as fast as he gives it, too, if it's not used properly. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. Quite obviously, I do not have that one. What is that? Wisdom, meaning you know everything. Then the only one that has that is Pastor Don, right? Yep. No, what that actually means is you just... Pastor John, for example, works quite well in that. He can sit down in counseling and stuff and hear people's... that they've been toying with something, trying to figure out a plan, and all of a sudden God will give them a word. And when he says it, well, why don't you? They say, well, why didn't we think of that? It's just so simple. It's not that Pastor John is smarter than any of us. It's a gift from God to be able to just go through all that and come right to a point, direct people. That's a, yes.
Yeah, a lot of times, and it's probably what you're going to cover, we think it's some type of esoteric, you know, just, and there is those times that God just gives you that insight. But as we read through the scripture, we see that wisdom is really being able to take God's word and apply it to every situation. Yep. And the more that you grow in Christ, the more that you're able to apply that and walk it out.
Absolutely.
That's wisdom. Jesus said, you know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. That's listening to his word and being obedient to it. So you may not be able to figure out quantum physics and all that other kind of stuff, but if you walk according to God's word, you're considered wise. And yep. The spirit of wisdom is going to teach you how to take those principles and put them together in any situation you might find yourself in.
And Pastor Don is a great example of that. He's been in debates and stuff with all kind of lettered people. What's his letter? I think somebody... But the wisdom he brought was not his wisdom, was it? It wasn't the wisdom of the world. It was God's word, which is wisdom, right? Wait. Yes.
Sometimes the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is going to seem foolish
mm-hmm.
to the world. I'll share a quick story what happened the other night. Esther's sister Sally, she called me. She asked me to go over to this house over in Southwest Detroit, right over by Western. Somebody was on the verge of passing away. And so I went over there, and, you know, we get called quite a bit to go and pray for people right at that point. Never met the family before. And so before I go in, I always pray, God, just give me wisdom on how to deal with the family. I don't know what they're like. I don't know what their background is, blah, 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 blah. We don't want this to turn into something bad. So I went in there and, you know, prayed and talked with them. And a young girl walked in right when I was done praying, and she was kind of sitting in the corner. And the Spirit of God came upon, I just knew it, and I began prophesying over her. Now, they didn't know what I was doing, but I began saying, you're this, and you have this. And she's just like looking like, what in the world are you doing? How do you know me? You know, and I really just felt God ministering to this young girl. Because she came in, she was depressed. You could see her, and by the time I left, her spirit was just lifted up. But on top of that, okay, so after that's done, I'm talking to the family, and they're telling me about this, the lady that is getting ready to pass and how she'd love to dance. And, you know, she'd go to, you know, loved all the Mexican music and what have you. And so if Esther's sister Sally goes, yeah, you know, at our church we sing songs in Spanish, and Fred sings a song. And as soon as she said that, the words to that song came into my mind, you know, Si Espíritu Dios, and I started singing it over, and they're like looking at me, like, and I'm like, what am I doing? The lady's getting ready to die, and I'm here singing over her. And as soon as I got done, I didn't sing the whole song, I just did like the refrain, and then I said, you know, that when she passes, she's going to be dancing before the Lord because she loves to dance. I gave a couple scriptures about dancing. So the guy that was sitting there, he gets up, and I'm like, okay, well, he's going to get the shotgun and get me the heck out of his house. And he walks, and he comes back, and he's got two CDs. He goes, Pastor, I want you to have these. You're really going to, Spanish Christian music.
Uh-huh.
And I said, hey, I really appreciate it. Well, it was that me doing that little song, just that refrain, you know, I clown around. But I was serious about, you know, hey, we're going to sing and dance before the Lord.
Yes.
Somebody that would have just walked in and go, this guy's out of his mind. But by the time I left, and Sally would tell you, the entire family there, you could see there was joy that was brought in. When I walked in, it was like, oh, man, you ever walk into a room where, you know, it's just like there's a wet blanket on it, you know,
yes.
Because they were expecting this person. They love that person,
yes.
You know, and I wasn't trying to make light of it. But I was trying to allow the Spirit of God to move through me to bring a life in there in edification and
yes.
to give them hope, you know. And it worked. And once again, it's not because I'm wise. That's not. It's because you allow the Spirit of God. And sometimes when he decides to move, you know, you're in the strangest of situations, like being there. And I'm like, what? God, I can't do it. And I just felt like sing that song. So wisdom, like I said, is if we look through the scriptures, we'll find a lot of things that the apostles did, and you kind of scratch your head, and you go, why'd they do this? Why'd they go there?
Yep.
You know, why'd Paul, the kid fell out a window, you know? He's laying down there dead, and Paul kind of lays his body on him, you know? Today, we'd probably be arrested for something like that.
Absolutely. You know? You're absolutely right that sometimes it's the strangest things that he asks us to do, and at the strangest times and the strangest places. I remember a death, Donna, do you remember... Pastor John had asked us, someone passed away that was in your home meeting from cancer. Remember the lady? And who else was with you? It was Donna and somebody else. It was another lady. And Pastor John called me. He couldn't go over there, and he asked, would I go over there? I went in there, and, oh, it was just horrible. Everybody's just milling around, talking. The lady's laying there in bed and dead, right? There's nobody. Donna and this, a couple people were in there. Was it? Okay, I'm sorry, Esther. You guys were in there with praying, right? And there was a couple people. Everybody else is just all over the house, drinking, scattered. I come in. They don't even know who I am. I just start getting, why is everybody down here? Let's go upstairs. She just died, right? And, you know, figure might have getting a fight here, but no, everybody what? Just puts down their drinks like, you know, because this is God. They're listening to me. Nobody listens to me. We all go up there, and for about 10 minutes we prayed. There was some closure. Before, they were just walking around like zombies. They started crying. Everybody started sharing some stories and that. But that just seems strange to walk in where people's family just died and start hollering at them. But it works. If it's the Holy Spirit. Where was it? Ah, yes. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, there are some people that have a gift of healing, but sometimes God can use anybody, right? Like with Fred for his sister there. I don't have a gift of healing. I mean, you know. But the word says what? Bring her to the elders. We all prayed for it, and there was a good result. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but there's been quite a few people coming up. There's been quite a few healings in the body, right? That certainly is no coincidence, is it? Was it the same person that prayed for every one of them? No. There's times that you might not even have that gift, but God can use you in that gift, right? I don't have a gift of healing, but quite often God has asked me to pray for somebody or another. They've got healed. I remember it was maybe a couple years ago, a friend of Kim's had been in pain for 14 years from a car accident or something. It was her head, it was her neck or her back or something. She had the one daughter that was, Kim had grabbed me. She had a daughter that had a little bit of an addiction problem, right? And I go over, I didn't even know this, but I go over to, God told me to pray for the lady, and I grabbed Kim and asked her, and it was a friend of hers. I said, well, would you come with me because I'm going to go pray for her. And I asked her, I said, do you mind if I pray for you? Oh, no, no, no. I want you to pray for my daughter. She's got addiction. She needs help, you know. I said, no, God told me to come over and pray for you. Why? Well, if you'll pray for my daughter. I said, well, certainly. I said, I was just standing back there, and God just showed me, like, your head and shoulders and that just, like, pulsating. And she told me she had had something wrong with her for, like, 14 years. Just a simple prayer. Do you mind if I pray? Yeah. God, you love her. Touch her. Now, if now is the time, touch her. Then I went to praying for the daughter. And she came back the next day and said that she'd been healed. I said, wow. She's still doing good. And she's telling me she had been to, she just listened in and all these great evangelists and pastors. She went to every healing. If anybody had come in that's had the slightest gift of healing, she would go see him. When you're in pain, you'll do that, right? She was in bad pain. She was taking all kind of drugs and stuff. In a simple prayer by some little dummy in Melvindale, God heals her, right? God does what God wants to do. We don't direct God. God directs us, right? He showed me to go over and pray for her. Even if she didn't get healed, that's not my concern because I couldn't have healed her anyway. My job is to be obedient to the Lord. When he asks you to do something, don't expect always great things to happen. Most of the time, you don't see much results physically outside. It might be years before that in culmination with what he sends other people to do comes to fruition, right? Sometimes we never know. Our only job is to be obedient in whatever he tells us to do. But usually he uses whatever our gift is more often than not. It talks about words of knowledge. Somehow, I kind of flow in that occasionally. And that's a great tool, not for the body as much as for the unbelievers, right? Like Pastor Don just said, when he started prophesying over that young lady, she took notice, because why? She knew that there's no way he knew this. This had to be God. Well, if this is God speaking, maybe I ought to listen, right? All right. What we need to remember is all gifts come through the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." One prerequisite for the Holy Spirit, you have to be saved. You can't get the Holy Spirit without being saved. People have tried, still trying. I had someone ask me to pray for the Holy Spirit. I said, "You're saved?" "No, I figured that helped me get saved." Don't work that way. It could be a second later. I've seen people that were saved and instantly filled with the Holy Spirit, but that was after they were saved, even if it's a second or years. Yep, I'm going to be quoting him in a minute. One of my personal heroes. God, in Hebrews 2:4, God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Again, according to His will. God's will. We don't get to pick and choose, right? Like I said, if we did, I would be the greatest singer you ever heard of. Another thing to remember is everyone has gifts. Everyone. 1 Corinthians 7:7. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. That's why Paul so often refers to the church body as a physical body. We all have different, that was 1 Corinthians 7:7. It would be ridiculous if your whole hand was full of thumbs. What would you be able to do? Nothing. That's why there's a difference. Every part of your body has a different function, but they all work perfectly together. That's a picture of a healthy body, but that's a picture of a healthy church. As I look around here, I see all kind of gifts, right? Everyone has gifts. Everyone has gifts, right? How many people were sent in as members here? At that time, usually did a lot of words come forward about different gifts, different directions you should go, and so forth? Right? Okay. Peter answered in Acts 8:20. This is Simon the sorcerer. "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." Simon seen the power. He was a great sorcerer. He was. He had the whole city mesmerized. Paul come in and just showed him up. So what's he say? "Well, can I buy that? Is that like a magic trick that comes in a box? Can I buy that?" Paul said, "You're going to hell." Right? But he did repent. Acts 10:45. "The circumcised believers who came to Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles." I don't believe we have any Jewish people in here of Jewish descent. Well, I'm sorry, 1%. Yes, I apologize. Yes. Rabbi Woolen, there, yes. Yes, he's got a little leaven in him somewhere. That leaven hasn't left yet, but that gift was poured out on us, the Gentiles, the same gifts, right? Still being poured out. All gifts are for serving the body. I said that. They're not for you to look good. Because when you start taking credit for it like Simon would and start charging and stuff, how many palm readers or spiritualists do it free? Hello? Thank you. Has anyone ever charged you in here for praying for you? Well, you might have to bring a cup of coffee, but that's not much, right? In 1 Peter 4:10, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others." Every gift. Christ come as a servant. Do you think it's going to be any different from us? No. No. The only thing I'll leave you with is don't get confused with, there's all kind of gifts. I could just read them off and off. But sometimes we're the last ones to see our gift. Right? I have a young lady back here that wanted to hear, not you, in front of you, wanted to hear the gift. Stand up. Stand up. Yes, ma'am. I'm not talking to the chair. No, no, no. You stand up. All right. Everybody knows the young lady? No? Well, there she is. What gifts do you see in Ashley? Yes, she is. And what was that one? You do have a very kind and gentle spirit. People, there's no fear. Quit looking down. Look up. Right? But you have that is a gift, kindness, and but I see that you have a real gift, you have a real love, and it goes along with that for children. Little kids love you, just as they love to go to Christ. You can't hide stuff. You ever know some little kids won't go to somebody? Kids have more discernment than their parents sometimes. You have a real love. Kids love you, animals love you, because you have a sweetness about you, that a pureness that they feel in that. But you have a real gift, too, of administration. You have that's a gift. You have a real gift of being able to bring things into order, kind of shuffle things around and see the big picture, like in an office setting or something like that. I'm not saying you can do it in your life sometimes, but when you on a job, you have a real gift for that, right? There's just two or three gifts. Anybody else? Yes, you are. You're an encourager. Yep. You're just the kind of person that people like to be around, right? We don't think this as a gift. If this church was full of people nobody wanted to be around, I might leave. Thank you. But we laugh, but a lot of people, you wouldn't believe the amount of people that over the years have said that, well, I don't have a gift. The Word says you do. So don't say you don't. I could do the same thing with everybody in here. Sometimes other people see our gifts more than we do, right? And the Word also says to pray for the spiritual gifts. Ask for them. That's like asking to be used when He gives you a spiritual gift. Be careful, because when you get that gift, you're going to have to go out and use it, right? All right. We're going to close right now. Where's my microphone? There you are. All right. Would you pick somebody, your choice? Who do you want to close? Thank you for coming. And next week, I believe it's Ray Silva next week is going to be up here. All right? All right.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the Bible study, and I pray that we all learn something today. And I pray that the rest of the day would go well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.